This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Hosts of the show. If you want to reach out to us, you can do it at AMI Audio on Twitter. You can send an email, feedback at AMI.ca. Ask them any questions that you might have about AMI Audio, AMI Tele, or AMI TV right there. And of course, you can call us 1-866-509-4545. Leave a message. Mention, you know, what show you're leaving the message for. And if we have your permission to use your message on air, if we can, we certainly will. 1-866-509-4545. As mentioned, Ramya Muthan with Kelly McDonald.
Well, Kels, on Thursdays, we like to check in with our friend Mike Farron. He's got a lineup of summer audio entertainment fun for us, so let's bring him on.
Hi, I'm Mike Fair. iPhones, iPods, and iPads are everywhere, and they're doing great things for the blind. We explore all that, plus audio entertainment, dramas, podcasts, internet radio, and games. We share it all on Kelly and Company.
The people at Big Finish, they never let us down, let me tell you. They've kept up a steady stream of the releases during the pandemic, and one of the latest on their roster is a brand new Sherlock Holmes adventure. And you teased this for us on Tuesday when we were having our book talk, Mike. So super excited. You're going to tell us all about The Seamstress of Peck and Rye. And want to start with where this adventure begins, because I'm sure we have a lot of Sherlock fans out there who are listening.
Basically, what's happened here is this actually starts just after the events of the Master of Blackstone Grange, which was the last big Sherlock adventure. And basically, it's about 4 months after that. So Dr. Watson, madly in love with the American actress Genevieve Dubont, who he's rescued from, Sherlock and him rescued from this horrible situation. At a fancy manor that was the centerpiece of the last one. And they're all kind of getting ready to get married. The only problem is the husband is a bit, you know, he says, oh, well, sure, I'll sign the divorce papers, but then he kind of skips town after they, and I think he kind of enjoys getting them to go hither and yon, chasing him to get these papers. Sherlock Watson has moved out of Baker Street, and they're living in this landlord's house. She's very strict, one floor for boys, one floor for girls, and that further complicates their relationship. So this is going on, and there is a murder that should be enthralling Sherlock, but Sherlock is a bit down in the dumps and nothing's really thrilling him, and he just sees life as pointless, and Dr. Watson's very worried about him. And that's kind of where things kind of kick off.
Interesting. So in your opinion, Mike, what direction are they taking their Sherlock Holmes content in?
Well, the prior arc was basically started with the perfidious mariner and ended with the sacrifice of Sherlock Holmes. It really looked at sort of technology, the future, you know, as the 20th century dawns, the future, all the tech and stuff that's being used for evil purposes. And Sherlock is kind of a little out of his element, trying to, you know, keep up and do good, but kind of out of his age, really. And it really leaned on tech and plot and kind of puzzle. And that kind of, after a certain point, I feel jumped the shark, really, especially with the last box set in that, The Sacrifice of Sherlock Holmes. But if anyone wants the finest Sherlock adventure ever, check out The Ordeal of Sherlock Holmes. That's where that series really hits its stride. It's a wonderful thing. But the new one kind of steers away from that. And this trilogy, starting with The Master of Blackstone Grange, it's going to be at least a trilogy, possibly more, the bonus material says, basically takes it back to character and motivations and just understanding what drives people. And that's much more Doyle, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's bailiwick. That's pure Sherlock at its best. So I'm very happy that they're going in that direction. Much more about character and sort of the puzzles and why people do the things that they do and what's mm-hmm. going on.
Okay, well, we want to learn more about your impressions on this. But before that, let's listen to a bit of the trailer before we learn more about the story.
There's been a murder, Dr. Watson, in a smart family in a smart part of town. Well, it's not my world, you understand? They've closed ranks against me. But it troubles me, sir. The savagery of it in the heart of the greatest city on Earth. The concentrated brutality of the thing.
Come, Watson, the game's afoot!
From Big Finish Productions, Sherlock Holmes, The Seamstress of Peckham Rye.
A dead barrister in a new suit with a code in his pocket which has baffled the experts.
The redoubtable Mrs. Tyndall was just about to tell me the story of that tragic night as she recollects it.
I was. Anything I can do to bring my husband's killer to justice.
I'm searching for links in the chain, for the proper connective tissue. A dead barrister, a missing neighbour, a new suit, a baffling cipher, and a survivor who takes every night to the London stage in spite of her evident instability.
An evening of terrible revelation!
Boy.
Wow.
Without giving too much away, Michael, can you give us a little more sense of the story?
Sure, yeah. It's got an interesting structure here because we sort of jump between a few different characters. Sherlock Holmes and Watson are often going to separate places. So you jump between Watson and Holmes, and then you also jump to other characters briefly, especially Genevieve Dumont, as they deal with the supporting cast of these characters. So mm-hmm. it moves along in that fashion, and sometimes those jumps happen at the most irritating points where you want to know what happens next, but you're sort of left hanging until you flip back to the characters you were just.
Well, I would find that, Mike, in more of the older versions, as more productions of Sherlock Holmes were created in radio adaptations, you did get a little more of that, Holmes doing his thing, kind of like you see Archie Goodwin going out in Narrow Wolf to do things, and there being that separation. However, it was like a lot of equal, like, you know, as Holmes is became that favorite assistant, assistant. As Watson became that favorite assistant, there was a lot more of that giving him center stage too.
Yeah, well, he also is the narrator, and that's kind of traditional too.
Yeah.
For Watson, so that is a massive amount of work, doing the narration and then flipping instantly into Watson mode
into the scene. Exactly,
it must
seamlessly.
Be hard as an actor. Yeah,
seamless, like so good. Are there many supporting characters, Mike?
Yeah, we have quite a cast of them here. We have Miss Culpepper, who's a strange woman who gives these performances that the trailer hinted at. And, somehow they're connected with the murder. And it's have to figure that out. We have the widow, who you heard briefly there. That's India Fisher, incidentally, quite well performed and wants to bring the killer to justice of her husband. And that is, she is also kind of throughout the story, popping up everywhere. You have Joseph Dremond, the former husband of Genevieve, making mischief, and Inspector Silas Fisher. What an awesome name, and awesomely acted, by the way, as well. Really excellent supporting cast of characters there. And plenty more besides. A really good, and they're well thought out. They're not two dimensional, so you have to figure out who's trustworthy, who's not. Mm-hmm. What do they all want? Interesting cast of neatly thought out characters.
Which is great, and especially when you get that character development and a story with it. How long is this drama?
Well, you've got basically a total of about 2 hours and 45 minutes for the actual story. And then you have about 16 minutes of interviews, 15, 16 minutes of actual making of interviews with cast and people involved. And then you have a music suite, and that's a bit, that's like 24 minutes long, something like that. So you're looking at a total of around 3 hours and change. And so it's quite a well-stocked thing. I would have liked to see a bit more, you know, with the bonus material, frankly. But you know, other than that slight gripe, you know, it's really well a really good package, I think.
And Mike, the bonus material, were you happy with it?
The quality is good. Like, it's, these people know their Sherlock. You can tell these you know, it's done good for them as a company, and they respect it. They, you know, none of these people enter this lightly. So the reviews, you always get a lot out of the interviews and stuff, and the questions. They're always quite interesting answers, with especially with the cast and now with the pandemic, right? What was, you know, that adds a whole new wrinkle to the actors' experience as they go through.
Yeah, for sure. And now, unless there's something else you want to throw in about the actors, let's move over to the sound and music. I'm always, this fascinates me, especially these period pieces.
Yeah, you know, the sound, it worked pretty well last time. You know, there have been a couple of these episodes that the Big Finish has done where I haven't felt that the sound quite lived up to the story. This is not one of those cases. The sound was absolutely great for the story, gave it an air of sort of a feature film. There was music there that carried the mood. It was, you know, not as sparse as in some dramas I've listened to recently. So there's, you know, lots of use for the music, and it was just nicely there. The sound was there. The atmosphere sounded like they ought to, you know. It was quite well packaged that way, and I didn't detect any faux pas or miscued, you know. I'll shoot you with this gun and stab, stab. Whoops, yeah, you know. They never make mistakes like that. At least not that I've caught yet. They always do brilliant sound work.
Yeah, and it's a cool thing you're saying about the sound matching the vibe of the production, right? Because you're hearing so much dramatics in the trailer, and it'd be kind of odd to not have the matching energy level for sound. Was it worth, Mike, the drama, was it worth the $16.99 price on Big Finish?
I would say yes, yeah. And you can even get it in a bundle that includes the Master of Blackstone Grange and the pre-order of the third installment, which is apparently going to be called The Fiends of New York City. And that is slated to come out next year. A bit of a wait, but yeah, you know, I would get the bundle, honestly. But yeah, for the this you can get $16.99 digital download. They do sell these things on CD as well. I don't know how many people would still want that, but it's there if people do. So they do quite well with especially their digital stuff, I find.
Awesome.
And of course, you know, there's more coming out, and can't wait for more Sherlock.
Yeah, and we look forward to hearing more from you. Thanks, Mike.
A pleasure.
You can purchase The Seamstress of Peckham Rye as a digital download for $16.99 Canadian at bigfinish.com. We have the site linked on our blog as well, ami.ca/Kelly Co.
Well, in a moment, when we return from the break, Fern Lum is going to highlight a scheme designed to engage and encourage young people from all UK communities to explore their possibilities in Olympic and Paralympic sports. We'll get into that conversation after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.